staple of the superhero mythology is there's the superhero and there's the alter ego. Batman is actually Bruce Wayne. Spider-Man is actually Peter Parker. When that character wakes up in the morning, he's Peter Parker. He has to put on a costume to become Spider-Man. And it is in that characteristic Superman stands alone. Superman didn't become Superman. Superman was born Superman. When Superman wakes up in the morning, he's Superman. His alter ego is Clark Kent. His outfit with the big red S, that's the blanket he was wrapped in as a baby when the Kents found him. Those are his clothes. What Kent wears, the glasses, the business suit, that's the costume. That's the costume Superman wears to blend in with us. Clark Kent is how Superman views us. And what are the characteristics of Clark Kent? He's weak. He's unsure of himself. He's a coward. Clark Kent is Superman's critique on the whole human race.
Everybody, what is it, 61?
61.
Talk Raider 61. I'm Christopher Antista.
I am Tyler Wild.
I'm Michael Raparez.
I am Brett.
Together again.
just Brett.
It is just Brett.
I don't want to say it's a diminished podcast. We're going to do a really quick top seven community segment. And in between, you're going to hear us live from Comic-Con.
Yeah. And you'll be hearing this, obviously, on Friday, and that's when we will be there, still there. So we'll be recording as much as we can and cram it into this podcast, and then also maybe have something extra.
Saying, check your iTunes before next Friday. Hopefully we'll have something for you. Maybe on the page, Comic-Con stuff. I know I have some articles I would like to write, should I get the opportunity. I wanted to give everybody in the office a hearty fuck you.
Really?
Yes! Here to everybody. We went to Shane's going away party, and I brought my lady friend with me.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, where's your girlfriend? I'm like, dude, don't call my girlfriend. We're in that weird, we just started dating period. Every one of you apparently went up to her and told her I said that, to that I made sure to distinguish that she isn't my girlfriend.
I did not. I didn't either.
I wasn't there.
You know what? I don't care who did.
No one in here did. I saw it for all of 4 minutes.
It led to one of the most awkward conversations I've ever had to go to sleep horny on. God damn it. I'm so mad at the office. Mad.
You know who you can blame?
Charlie and Shane.
Yeah.
Because we blame them for everything.
And AJ Glasser. And Sean McInnes. Sean McInnes and his from GameSpot. I came in and he's like, Speech! And I'm like, yeah, all right, I'll roll with this. I'm like, I've had a nice time. And then him and his friends just yell boo the second I start talking. It's the funniest thing I've ever been the butt of, and I can't wait to do it to somebody else. if you're going to be at Comic-Con, look for Brett and I. There's a future booth. We might be around there. Seriously, take a look for us. I'd love to meet anybody. I don't think I've ever met anybody in person.
No.
I don't know who's listening to this podcast. That's sad.
And yeah, if we say, if you've sent us messages, we have read them about meeting you there, and we will try, but you might want to be proactive with that, because we will be running around.
Yeah, they'll be busy doing stuff for me and my...
Oh, I better run into Charlie Gavin.
Yeah.
Of Silver Age Comics. And I better run into, what was the Haunted...
And he better have a $5 bill for me.
The Haunted Pumpkin?
Because I will want a Mountain Dew whenever I see him. I'm just
or
saying.
A $5 footlong.
The pumpkin artist guy. Just one of our listeners. His father's an artist at Comic-Con. He's going to be at the table. If you're doing that, tell us about it. Maybe.
Yeah, they made the Leap of Faith video for a contest back in the day.
What? Oh, he did?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, anyway, let's get into the same thing we do every week. That sounded...
What is that?
I don't know. Somebody tell me. Michael Raparez.
I believe it's the Sop Tevin.
See, we definitely have new audio equipment if I'm hitting that many sound
effects. I thought you were talking about taking over the world.
I was not.
I didn't even. That hemming wasn't even long enough to think of a decent joke.
It was the top seven evil corporations. The top seven I've been looking forward to for a long, long time.
Evil corporations and games.
Excuse me, and games. Yes. Nobody, there's no mention of Microsoft, Comcast, Time Warner.
Yes. Yeah. I finally canceled all of my Comcast ties yesterday, and they kept me on the phone like, are you sure? Did you know that this, sir, television,
I'm like, sir, 90% of gays don't have cable. What does that say about you?
I'm like, ma'am, most of these shows are free on the internet from their original source. Go blow yourself.
I reinforced my Comcast ties yesterday in that I handed over my internet and phone service to them as well.
Oh, no, the free plan?
Yes.
The triple threat? Is that what they call it?
I'm not about to advertise or shill for it, but yes, I have that.
All right. Top seven evil corporations.
Is the Shinra Electric Power Company.
I never heard of it.
From Final Fantasy VII.
Why take Lifestream?
Why take Mako?
give me some background. Who's got the most
basically
knowledge?
It's a really, I wouldn't even call it veiled, but analogy to oil companies.
No.
In that they just suck up the life of the planet, only in the game. It literally is the life of the planet that they're usurping and turning into electricity.
Knowingly.
We'll see. Millions of years ago, some dinosaurs died, and now their souls.
Now their souls power our cars. So you see, that's why dinosaurs are really the coolest ever.
I got a Tyrannosaurus soul-powered car.
So the irony then comes when you have a Tyrannosaurus nightlight as a kid, he's powering his own nightlight.
What?
Oh, man.
It almost sounded like English.
Be a pirate.
Pirate.
I don't know a pirate. I don't know what.
Nightright.
All right. And then the thing I really liked about Final Fantasy VII were the tits.
Tits were pretty good.
They were lame. But how at the end of the game, all the weapons that come out, they all fly out of the planet, and it's the idea that the planet actually has its own defense.
Yeah, I love that.
That the planet actually finds out, hey, what do you do? Get out of here! And then they send these things to tear the world apart, and then the world tries to erase us from the face of the earth.
I end Podcast 7 with a George Carlin bit where he hypothesizing the exact same thing, that the earth will shake us off like leaves.
Yeah, no, and that's basically what happens at the ending of 7. I used to think the ending of Final Fantasy 7 was super cool because everyone died.
Mm-hmm.
It made it look like, oh, the planet purged us all and said, you fuckers, get out of here.
You got 60 more games.
And then, no more poignant ending. That made too much money.
Hold on. Too much money, and now we have to get some cell phone spots in.
Yes, please.
Number 6 on the top 7 evil corporations.
Brought to you by Subway.
Brought to you by Subway. This week, San Diego Calcado died. Be there, be back.
Be there, be 5 inches long. Black Mesa Research from Half-Life and Half-Life 2.
I am going to go to the Taqueria later and get some Black Mesa.
Mesa Negro.
Give me some background on Black Mesa. Half-Life, Half-Life 2, ginormous underground complex.
Tyler?
Don't point to me. I've played the game, so it doesn't mean I paid attention to the story.
Yeah. Well, it's
a corporation that some bad shit happens, and there's a guy
who...
They
open up a gateway, a dimensional gateway.
I honestly learned more about Black Mesa playing Portal than playing any
of the Half-Life
true. Games.
Portal has a lot of backstory.
We will get to that. They basically allowed the Combine to come into all our lives. And for that, we should thank Black Mesa every day for coming up with physics engines.
It's kind of like, it echoes to a certain extent UAC from Doom, which preempts Half-Life by a good, I think, 3 or 4 years. But no, just the general idea of UAC is the... UAC is the same thing. They're a company on Mars that are running all these teleportation experiments, and that's how they end up opening the gateway to hell, and then all the demons come through, and that's how Doom starts. And Doom 3 on Xbox and PC does a very good job of retelling that story. Really cool.
Off the top of your head, all of you, name one interdimensional gateway.
Stargate.
What has it done for us? What will they ever do? Is there any good that can come out of bridging the gap between two dimensions?
The one in Doctor Who where they put all the Dalek in it.
Oh,
in the space in between. Or Dalek.
Yeah. Nerds!
Shut up!
No, there's a science fiction writer, David Gerald, wrote an interesting story about opening gateways.
No.
Didn't happen. Number five.
It really did.
That guy never existed.
Nope.
He wrote Trouble with Tribbles, so suck a dick. No. Me. Ultor Corporation from Red Faction Guerrilla, and apparently Saints Row 2.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I did not notice that.
And apparently Saints Row 1.
Mainly because I didn't play either Saints Row.
They got way bigger in Saints Row 2, though, right?
Yeah, they were much bigger. They became like this big... They rebuilt the city, basically, and turned it into this huge metropolis.
I mean, they didn't figure that heavily into 1.
No. And I don't think so. I don't even remember hearing about them in 1.
No, they were definitely there. I just remember seeing 2. I'm like, what the fuck happened? It's like it's not a reimagining, but it's like an accelerated growth period between 1 and 2, the Saints Row 1 and 2, as it is with Red Faction Guerrilla.
Which I beat and barely remember the name Ultor.
Well, Ultor is just kind of a memory in Red Faction. I mean, it really relates to the first Red Faction game, where, like, Ultor is the mining company you're rebelling against.
Paul Ryan mentions in the article, but there's a hint to future space conquest at a construction site or something like that, of the Ultor Corporation's intentions. I got this quote from the CEO from one of the trailers that everybody should use this.
If you're going to build an ivory tower, you're going to have to kill a few elephants.
Yes! That is a can-do spirit.
Damn.
I am surprised.
We're going to get this tower built.
That Saints Row has a story. I thought it was about trucks that piss on people.
I thought it was way better than those.
It is.
Other games.
If you obviously you haven't played the game and gotten orders from Freddy Rodriguez while he's consistently getting his penis sucked by somebody, you kill that motherfucker. Oh yeah, a little lower. Like it's. I love my Saints Row 2.
Really?
Like my Saints Row 2.
Really? Like yeah. That's more accurate. I know your emotions.
I did when I was a lot poorer and had a lot fewer games.
But now.
Now.
As the head of the number 73 podcast.
Yeah. Hey, front page of iTunes, bitch.
I know. It's iTunes ranking.
Eat a
ranking,
bowl of fuck.
Ranking is, that would be very unsanitary.
That's German, by the way. I didn't actually swear.
Right. Spelled J.
Okay.
Next is, I don't know what number this is, because Paul Ryan, the author of this, didn't number them.
Number trip.
Because he's a fucking asshole.
Hey, easy on the fucking... Right. Silvco from Pokemans.
Pokemon, I know nothing about this.
Funnily enough, having put over 150 hours into Pokemon, I don't know anything about this company either.
Really?
I know they're in it, and I'm guessing they...
To win it?
They're not really trying to win anything. It's that company is doing things to Pokemans. We gotta go liberate some Pokemans, and then you fight trainers as everyone does in Pokemon, and then some text goes on the screen, and then you leave. Like I don't.
It's not funny at all that you put over 100 hours into Pokemon.
It's not.
It's not in any way hilarious and depressing.
I know people who put over 300 hours into Pokemans.
Do you?
Yes. Raymond Padilla.
Can
go
you
look
say
him
it
up.
Normal anymore?
Oh, G4.
Can you, like, does oh, it just G4. Come out Pokemans?
What?
Is it even possible for you to say
if
it?
I say Pokemon, I feel like I'm not saying it right.
Yeah, me
and now
too.
I just feel like I have to say Pokemans.
Pokemon?
Pokemans.
And Pokemon. I immediately want to say, let me show you them.
You want me to show you them?
Let me show you them.
I'll show you mine. Pokemon is really fun.
All right, number...
But it's... I'm like, it's fun every, like, 8 years. I play Diamond. I won't play, like, the next 5.
Number deuce!
Number 2 is Sin from Street Fighter 4.
I love this. Like, the heads... The success and failure of corporations rests upon your ability to punch.
Yeah, it's like the plan is to put the DNA of all the fighters into one, and somehow it's not Cell from Dragon Ball Z.
Yep, he'll be able to run a corporation through his superior martial arts skills.
Yes.
It is the kind of Street Fighter is the kind of universe where they would have Seth the boss with his fucking yin yang symbol in his chest, in his ripped, like naked body. And they'd put him in a business suit running a corporation, and no one would bat an eye.
Yeah. It's like Dr. Manhattan's concession speech. But
these spreadsheets are wrong, Sonic! Fuck. Yeah, you don't have it, do you?
I do. All right. You're ready for laughter.
My wallet was in my back pocket. He bumped me, and now it's gone.
Very you go.
Oh, Guile's answer to everything. Do you have my favorite political figure from Street Fighter?
Which one's that? I think I might.
Yes.
No, him? No. My favorite player, my favorite character.
Oh, I do.
I believe he worked
discipline,
his way.
Justice, commitment.
Oh, that's Ambassador Blanca.
This is him from Street Fighter, and this is him from the fucking USA Network cartoon
from like the mid 90s.
We are witness to
that's Bison.
The end of Guile and his him. Street Fighters.
Christ.
Say hello to Ambassador Blanca.
God, it's the worst.
Can you imagine how much phlegm that guy must have worked up doing that voice? You'd have to have a mason jar right in front of him the whole time.
I bet the inside of his throat looks like a sea anemone.
This is actually number two.
Is it number two? What
you
is number two?
Ahead. The Umbrella Corporation.
Ah, that's
the
right.
The fine picture of an umbrella on the article.
Attaboy, Paul, doing the hard work.
GameTrader.com. Well, I guess I'll search for umbrella.
This is pretty good as far as umbrellas go.
That's funny.
I put large images on the Google image search.
It's literally an umbrella.
I talk in a monotone.
JPEGs, huh?
I put it in as a tip.
All right. Paul Ryan wrote the article. We didn't say that.
To the rescue.
A genius Paul Ryan, who also announced... He may no longer be with us. Can we say that?
Yeah, Paul Ryan's leaving, and as listeners of Talk Radar, you really don't care.
That's not true. He's been probably the most requested.
One third of one podcast.
Yeah, he's in podcast 47, the one we did the documentary on.
Yeah, he's in that one.
And, he looks like he might be going away. I think we should roast him. Who thinks so?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Let me hear it. Let me hear.
Watch his face turn red. That.
I think we should talk like this the whole time.
That was pretty accurate.
That was the wrong
button. Like, yeah, that's pretty funny, guys. Umbrella. It'll be like, that is pretty funny. Fuck you.
So Umbrella from Resident Evil, they made zombies. We all know what they did.
On accident or on purpose?
Everybody knows what happened.
My understanding
next.
Is... their original intentions were benign, but then underneath it is like Wesker trying to become immortal, and then they...
I remember that.
Blah. And, Resident Evil 5 actually does a pretty decent job of summarizing, I felt.
I know, but they just call out so many names.
Yeah,
I don't know. I totally stopped caring.
Yeah. There's too much to keep track of for how simple the plot actually is.
Yeah.
Mean Corporation wants to kill
Who lives
everybody.
And who dies? Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody does both.
Yeah.
Did anybody watch the third Resident Evil film?
No.
It's like basically the opposite of the game continuum where like Umbrella practically like rules the world and Wesker is like the chairman and head and CEO of
it. In Vegas?
Yeah, I don't really know. He like has these meetings and they're like holograms or something. That the people he's meeting with, and but yeah, he's sitting at a meeting table in his fucking sunglasses.
That's how you know. Wesker, yep. Chris.
Let's get into the number one.
Number one.
Turn the old dolphin.
Oh man, it's the dolphin. You don't have Aperture Science?
No.
Oh, I've
intentionally avoided using that ever, because it's just... Like, why have you... You've heard that song a billion times.
I know,
times.
But it's number one on the list, Aperture Science. You could have just isolated just that.
And this is what I asked Paul. Like, Paul, is Aperture affiliated with Black Mesa?
I don't think so.
No,
because
not
in the song, rivals. Because in the song, they're rivals.
Yeah.
They are rivals.
Well, throughout the game, there's like little indicators. You can see like... charts and graphs in meeting rooms talking about how Aperture needs to outpace Black Mesa in terms of government contracts and production.
Okay, yeah, and I missed that. I thought the ending was kind of like, well, this was part of Black Mesa.
No. They're an independent company that developed Shower Curtain.
It's sort of their pathetic rival.
Well, I guess I get one of these.
No.
That's what I get.
It is one of my favorite fictional corporations because
they
were making shower curtains, decided to branch off, and in designing an even better shower curtain, they created the portal technology as well as GLaDOS.
Which was designed to get their customers directly into waterfalls?
I don't know how that was going to be a shower curtain, but...
I like how they started a Take-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
So is that like you take a wish away from a dying child?
I used to do that for money. I was really bored. I really broke. Just got my license. I'd go and remove coins from fountains and then throw them in a Winn-Dixie coin star.
They have licenses for that?
No. I'm just saying. But that was I took so many wishes. And you know, when you got a quarter, that wish meant a lot.
That's true. That was probably someone wishing for their mother not to die.
Ha ha! Your mom's gonna die. You're right to give me a rim shot because that is hilarious.
We don't have a lot of time to get into a lot of stuff, but I had to plug my article that I worked really, really hard on. If you'll indulge me, what was it? Does anybody remember what it was called? Who saw it today?
Why, it was called Nintendo Banned in the USA.
Banned in the USA, and I teased it last week with Final Fight, because one of the distinctions between the Japanese. Well, the article is all the stuff Nintendo banned from U.S. releases but existed on other platforms or the Japanese version of the game. And the Japanese version of Final Fight, the guy was allowed to say, what was it? He's allowed to say, oh my god.
Oh my god.
from Italy, apparently.
In the American version, he had to say, oh my car.
Oh my car.
Yes.
Which I would argue was a much more classical sound.
Oh my god. It sounds much more Japan. I don't want to say Japanese, but I guess that's the way all voice sounded because all my games are from fucking Japan. In the SNES days. But the one thing, what else do I have in there? No? No one remembered it? Bionic Commando, all that Nazi stuff, all the nudity in Castlevanias and Final Fantasies.
A lot of religious references. The big ones were like Zelda, Nintendo. Ocarina,
that was great. Thank you for giving me those.
In Ocarina of Time, Nintendo actually censored out the Ganon's red blood in the second print of Ocarina of Time, so you can have an N64 cart and Ganon will have green blood, if I'm not mistaken.
There's three versions of the cart, the first one alone, which there's allegedly 2 million copies of.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one I have and everyone I know has, because we bought it the day it came out.
And the screens of the red blood are actually like Brett playing his old cart.
Yeah, which I took for the ever-changing sizes of Link and Ganon.
Link and Ganon.
On Games Radar.
Yeah, that is super cool. There was rumor that the one right after that, version 1.02.
I don't know.
1.2 is the blood the color of the blood corresponds to the tunic Link is wearing. Could be completely wrong. Do not have the time to cross check that.
Right.
But tons of blood and violence. That was so lighthearted.
Yeah,
Nintendo
was notorious, especially in the early 90s for removing blood.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors. Just like the game over screen has blood dripping down, and they made it like green
it's purple.
Not even green zombie blood, but they made it purple, so it's just like somebody spilled.
It's alien goo.
Yeah, it's like someone spilled a slushy on.
Yeah, it was just that was one of the time periods where it was really hard to be pro Nintendo and seem cool, because Nintendo gamers at the time even knew, like, it got that far out of like an internal affair to consumer level where kids on the playground knew, man, Nintendo one's lame, there's no blood in it. And it wasn't just because you could look and see. It was Nintendo had a reputation at that point. Mortal Kombat doesn't have blood.
I remember Mortal Kombat was the only time that came in up for discussion.
That was when it was that's when it was so awful that the game actually sold poorly because of it.
And so many things would.
But like as a kid on a playground, you're like, well, Genesis has Mutant League Football Zombies Ate My Neighbors has a blood trickle down the screen, whereas the same game on Super Nintendo, despite the fact that the music is better, the graphics are better, there's no blood and it's purple. It just looks like a sissified, really, like, why would you go to this trouble?
I couldn't believe we had said a couple times that the term arcade port, arcade perfect is over.
Yeah.
There's no more real arcade ports that you're looking forward to. But at the time, You get the arcade version. You're playing the shit out of something in arcade. The home version comes out. There's more to it. Just to this day, like, a movie comes out in theaters. The DVD comes out. It's unrated.
Yeah.
That's so bizarre that, like, you played the shit out of this already. Here's the home version. We're going to charge you $50 and actually give you less.
Yeah.
I think that's such a bizarre concept. I was not aware of it as a little boy. But some of the more fascinating ones, and I don't hate the headline, but are the ones that Nintendo censored themselves of their own games.
Yeah.
Ice Climbers, the original Ice Climbers, you bonked baby seals. Took that out because at the time it was very popular to kill Japanese seals to put in soup to get erections.
Yeah.
Damn it, no one laughed enough for me to.
It's probably right, I don't know.
The Zelda one and Earthbound, of course, is probably not without a couple.
Alterations.
I love in Earthbound we have a slight depiction of child abuse. that was edited out in the States. And it didn't work well, of course, because it's an audio form, so I saved it for the podcast. Ness and his cohorts come home. Dad's all mad. Takes them off into a room. The U.S. version, you hear... That's him yelling at them in an adjacent room. This is Ness has a fly around his head. That's why it sounds like that. And here's what the Japanese got to hear. Just beat that. How frantically are you beating your children? Man, to confirm it,
he's
like
breaking chairs over.
Later, the guy says, "Like my butt is really sore." And that was taken away.
I'm sure it's only because of a spanking.
Don't go there. I could not find many instances of homosexuality. But prostitution, check the article. Banned. Nintendo banned in the USA. I really can't do this. But to take us out as we go into our... This segment, to take us out here...
It does have 308 digs.
Does it really?
As of Wednesday. That's about 300... that's about 250 more than the last time I looked. So it's taken off.
Yay! To take us out, also in Zelda, they removed the song from the Fire Temple. Which
yes.
had an Islamic chant in it, which I forget what it says, but you can look it up, post it.
And I just refreshed, and it's a 311, so it's climbing very
fast. Yeah. This is a song from the Fire Temple. The next thing you should hear is an update from fucking Comic-Con, and after that, community segment. Stay tuned.
Boop, boop.
Mike Nelson from RiffTracks.com, and you're listening to Talk Radar.
No place to hide, no place to run, no place to run. The mutant tale, the mutant tale has now begun.
X-Men, X-Men, it's the day, X-Men, X-Men, coming your way. Magneto's horns are on the way to pillage, burn, and plunder.
Welcome. This is Stan Lee of Marvel Comics warning you to look around you. Your classmates, your friends, you never know which one of them may be a mutant, a person born with strange and wondrous powers. Now, some mutants, like the X-Men, use their special gifts for good, but then there are the terrorist mutants who plan to destroy the human race.
The police.
Doc Bruce Banner, melted by gamma rays, turned into the Hulk.
Does anybody want to listen to the rest of this motherfucking podcast?
Yeah! Oh man, here we go. Here's me basically making out with my microphone.
Easy, we need excitement. Who do we have with us for the first time?
Is this the part where I introduce myself?
Uh-huh.
Yay!
Who is it?
This is Cheryl.
Cheryl whom?
Cheryl, the web designer.
Del Rosario.
Del Rosario. Dude.
Del Rosario. Spelled with an S-H.
C-H.
Oh.
So, I was like, my last name isn't spelled with an S-H.
I know, I was thinking about your first name and all this. You have a collection of pictures of your fucking coffee from Starbucks being spelled in numerous different ways.
Yes.
Cheryl. That's why I like to say it like that. Cheryl.
It gives me attitude.
We're live at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con!
Me, Christopher, Brett Elston, and Cheryl.
Yes.
God damn it. It was like too busy to like do anything but try and take in the whole... Ugh, see? Indigestion.
We just got to walk the floor really quick and took a bunch of pictures in an article that's actually probably up by now. Some kind of cosplayer roundup of Comic-Con. There'll be more coming like on Monday because the big day of Comic-Con is Saturday, so that's obviously happening right now as you're listening to this or whatever. But,
yeah, well, I think we already teased. We'll be talking to a game that starts with an H and then another game that has a 4 in the middle.
Yes, and then a 2 at the end.
Stop it!
And then,
Too much.
And yeah. So we're still planning on trying to do a bonus cast?
I'm exhausted, and we got in. Yeah, went straight there.
We landed at like 2:30.
I carried around 60 pounds worth of equipment for about 4 hours.
And his shoulders look great.
Look, there's a hole in my shirt now.
Chris, there's holes in all your shirts.
Wear and tear. Cheryl, what did you do all day?
I was dressed up as one of the fairies from Sleeping Beauty.
Which one? You have to be
Flora,
specific.
The pink one.
Flora.
And everyone was like, it's Cinderella!
No!
Bobbity-boo! And I'm like, wrong. Try harder.
You were there with Meriwether. No Fauna this time.
Well, Fauna was there for a little bit, but then she started feeling not so great, so she had to go back to the hotel room.
Because why?
Her wig was too tight.
Because you guys have giant hats.
Yes.
Well, and those sachets that come over the hats, yes. But you're still wearing wigs because you are into this...
cosplay.
Yes.
Yes. Well, the fairies have gray hair. They're supposed to be these little old ladies.
I know.
I can't...
Not at the beginning.
Yeah, they are.
It's 16 years later. You don't remember how that movie starts?
Yes, I do. But they had gray hair in the beginning, didn't they?
I don't believe so. It was 16 years later.
I'd like to defer to me and say I don't care.
Hey! All right.
Chris would be the Disney expert, so if he says they don't, then I'm going to believe him.
Do you know how many times they called her Sleeping Beauty in the movie?
Never.
Never. I never thought of that movie as it was like dormant beauty.
And right.
Is it not like the woman was the beauty? I'm like, that's stupid. Sleeping Beauty. I always think of that as that's a person, and it's not.
Right.
It's a... Yeah. Jesus, what Comic-Con?
Comic-Con!
Yeah, well, tits and guns and superheroes.
And
yeah.
Bad body odor.
Bad body odor.
Well, actually, Thursday is actually pretty good for you guys. Wait until Saturday afternoon. Then it gets, on the bad side of ripe.
Well, what about you? What are you going to be wearing that day?
Tomorrow I'm wearing Easterlings from Lord of the Rings.
So what does that entail?
It's like the polar opposite of what I wore today. So it's this is like armor and a helmet, and people think we're dudes. And then they're like, "Can I get a picture with you?" And we're like, "Sure." And they're like, "Oh shit!"
You showed me a picture. I'm like, I don't remember that part in the movie. Like that's us.
They're in the two towers for like 5 minutes or something. Yeah, and yeah, the picture I showed you
it was awesome because what were you originally going to go as? Which
Chun-Li.
Chun-Li.
But I didn't finish it, and I didn't feel like staying up all night trying to sew. So I said. Get it.
But what's your favorite thing you've ever gone at?
Favorite.
I'm gonna do this one. That's why I'm so fascinated.
I'm dead set on Halloween this year. I'm gonna do it upright.
Yeah.
I want a Games Radar party, and so somebody hold a party. I will be there.
Right.
In a great.
Chris, let's get on that.
In a great outfit.
What's your favorite cosplay? That you've done.
I'd say the fairies are pretty close, just because we're so recognizable. Like the kids,
and they're very authentic.
Yeah, and the kids come up and see us, and they're like, "Ah!" And like we get the age range of people that get excited over those costumes runs the gamut. It's like we get little girls that are like 4 that see us, and then you get like the 30-year-old dudes that grew up with Sleeping Beauty, well, other guys that are in their 30s or in their 40s that remember it when it first came out, and they see us, they're like, oh my god, it's Meriwether, she's my favorite, and blah, blah, blah. And then we get, the moms and stuff like that. So it's really cool. Like, we just get mad, crazy compliments all over the place.
And what's something you always wanted to do?
Well, I've always wanted to do Chun-Li, which is why I'm finally doing it.
I'm going to steal it.
You heard it first here.
I have bigger thighs than you.
And Tisa as Chun-Li. I hope you plan on waxing.
It's going to take more than... It's going to need to scorch.
Oh,
that's what really sucks. Is it like I do manscape on occasion, but then it looks like a small brush fire because the rest of... Because
it's so angry.
Look at my tummy,
it's
see?
It's so angry and red.
Look at that. You'll notice if... what happened? It looks like there was a robbery in the middle of your pelvis.
I like how Brett is like looking at his computer.
Well, he wants to read about things about Comic-Con, which probably our listeners do too, but we tried getting into the Halo panel.
Oh. Yeah. Which we were too late.
You're too late, but according to people we talked to who came out of there, it was a reiteration of the anime that they have coming out featuring. Does anybody know what movies these guys have done?
One of the directors overseeing the whole thing is
Shinji
Aramaki, who did Appleseed.
It's pretty major.
Pretty major.
It's a crazy looking movie.
Yeah.
Mamoru Oshii with 2 eyes? I was dumb. Wish I had my sound effects. That's okay.
Wait, before we move on to Uncharted, I did want to say, like, this idea of a Halo anime, on one hand, there's a lot of groaning and there's a lot of, here we go. It's one of those things where, just like the Animatrix,
Which is better than the last two movies.
Thing as with Star Wars. When you get people who aren't, like, upset, like, who don't have to live and breathe the franchise, mm-hmm. and aren't so close to it that no one will ever tell them no.
Tell a story in this universe.
Yeah, and when you just say, tell me five stories in the Halo universe from, I don't care what medium you use, anime, standard animation, flash anime, just tell me stories in that, because the universe I like. I like the vehicles, I like the look, I like the races, I like the Halo itself. I think it's really cool. It's just the storytelling has been really scattershot and unfocused. And
it's just because it's depending on, like, movie style. Cinematic storytelling. It's a game. It's a fucking game where you fly around and shoot people.
Yeah. So that's kind of the problem. But that's why I'll probably watch this. Because just like the Animatrix, I like the universe enough that I want to see stories told in it.
Beautiful universe.
So there you go.
Have you seen any good Halo cosplay?
There was one guy that was standing in line for one of the booths. It looked like it was all store-bought, though. I mean, it was a good store-bought suit. most good Halo cosplayers, I think, buy prefab stuff. Because it's armor, so it's hard to make.
Yeah, that we posted that top 7 Halo cameos I did, like, back before Halo 3 launched. There's, like, a Mjolnir armor store. The guy makes it, and it's really high-quality stuff. But we were by the ODST booth, which was next to the Future booth, which was kind of hopping.
Yeah, it was.
Come by the booth.
I caught Brett playing the Wii on there.
Yeah. I was attempting to play Beaver Defense.
Beaver Defense.
It was like fun and exciting.
I was attempting to play Beaver Defense.
I was attempting as a grown man of 28 who has played games since 3, so 25 years of gameplay, and I couldn't. Every button I pushed did nothing. So far,
did you try waggling?
But things were moving on the screen, so you must have been doing something.
Well, whatever. But no, the ODST team, there was like 4 orbital drop shock trooper guys dressed up, and there was a Cortana dressed all in blue. I took a picture of her, so that'll be on the aforementioned article. But then we tried to go, we're like, okay, let's forget the Halo panel, we're not making any time for that. Let's try to go to this Uncharted 2 demo, like panel, and it's in a smaller room, and the line was ridiculous.
It went, the line here, I'm standing at the door, it went left. I followed it ended, and there's a sign that says the line continues across the hall.
Yes.
Turn left down another hallway, the line keeps going. There's a security guard pointing me that the line takes another left.
Yeah.
And that goes on for another 100 feet, and then the line stops. I'm like, you think we'll make this? He's like, no, because the line actually starts again outside and around the back and down the stairs.
Yeah, you got to go outside. They ran out of room to wind the line, basically.
Yeah.
To go see Uncharted 2. And it's like, well, we just wanted to go to further, like, elucidate information.
Well, all WonderCon panels are, like, super easy to get into.
Well, Comic-Con just keeps getting bigger every
year. Yeah, I think there's people look like they had been sitting there for hours.
Yeah.
And for, like, Uncharted 2.
And it's like, look, we know these people's phone numbers. We could just call them and...
Oh, stop it.
No, we could. We could. And be like, hey, next time you guys are doing interviews, we'll get one. And there's no waiting. There's no anything. But in this case, we want to be in the panel with everyone. We want to hear it. We want to see how they're telling everybody on a grassroots level what they're doing with Uncharted 2. Really want to know, because the E3 presence was very strong. We wanted to see more of it, and it was impossible.
The good thing to point out is that E3 is for us, and Comic-Con is
for everybody.
For everybody.
Yeah. We don't get any preferential treatment here whatsoever.
No.
Even if you had, like, a press badge, it's all very crapshoot.
Yeah. No, yeah. I actually asked if press badges matter. No.
What was your advice in getting into a panel?
You basically... The tactic that most people do use is they camp out in the room. So if you have a panel you want to get to that's at noon, you get to the panel 2 panels beforehand, and you just sit through 2 other panels.
That's
and then
why
just
the only
camp.
Reason I know anything about 9 is because I camped out in there to see some Up.
Yeah.
Yeah, WonderCon. We had to sit there, like, I want to see Up, so I guess we'll sit through this 9 panel.
Because we had missed everything for being too late.
Yeah, last year I was totally familiar with the spring Hasbro lineup for Transformers because I was waiting for a Bleach panel.
So God, that's even worse.
Whatever. I like Bleach.
I love that Cheryl stood in line today for
toys.
Yeah, as what? Hold on, as badass. As sound Fauna wave. from.
As Flora.
Flora.
I was the only. This line took about an hour and a half of my life.
Did it
of
really?
Comic Con. Yeah. Like if for a while, like Hasbro was like, "We're not taking more people in line. Come back in 20 minutes." And we're like, "Okay." So we were just kind of like hovering around the booth until they let more people into line. And after a couple clusterfuck moments, we finally got in, and I was the only person in costume in line, and while I'm waiting in line, people are coming up to me like, "Can I get a picture with you?" And meantime, I'm entertaining everyone around me, because they're like, "How do you do that? Just be nice all day. Good God, people keep talking to you." And like, well, kind of like sign up for it.
Oh yeah, I was gonna, when does the line hit? We're like, "All right, no more fucking pictures. Get away from me."
It's mostly when, like, creepy people or just, like, annoying people start coming.
I am sorry.
we had the best creepy moment today. We're taking a picture of this girl who admittedly was standing in the smallest bikini bathing suit you could wear and get away with it in front of the G4 booth. So she's there for G4. And she's literally just standing there, "Hey, guys," and, like, posing. And she's pretty cute and all this shit. And everybody's taking pictures. And then finally, as me and Chris take pictures, we keep walking. Because we're taking pictures for the site, not for our own uses. And I hear a guy go, "Hey, can I get you to touch your toes?"
Ew!
And you could see her face, like her eyes, like, ha ha ha.
I have a picture of it. I'll try and, if anybody gives a shit, I will post it. Because right when she's like, "Oh." Because, like, everybody's very respectful. No one says I've never heard anybody say anything like this.
Yeah, it's like, "Hey, put them on the glass, lady." Like, that never happens. And, like, like to actually have a guy like, "Hey, baby, bend over." It's
floor's
like,
on
wow,
the floor.
Dude.
Oh, hey, God. Superman that hoe. Yeah.
Good job, Chris.
Semen sheets.
You are hipping it.
You'll get it tonight because we're splitting a hotel room.
Oh, God, scary.
Well, mosquito.
I am not sharing the hotel room with them, for the record.
That's not true.
The same hotel.
I believe you'll check the contents of the glass in your hand. Yes.
But then after failing again to get an Uncharted and then talking to Sean McInnes from GameSpot again, bumped into him, we just tried to take more pictures.
Yeah.
We walked by Capcom's booth. We were having a Tatsunoko versus Capcom fight-off.
I played Game 3 from Behemoth?
Oh, Behemoth. Games? We played the new game from Castle Crashers Guys.
Alien Hominid. It's pretty dope.
So what is it about?
It's like,
I have no idea.
It's like it's like a single screen that zooms in and out as you characters get closer and farther away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And this is where it sounds like I'm fucking hallucinating. You control two characters who can double jump.
It's up to four.
And
up to four, I believe.
Up to four. And you can, like, run around, grab these power-ups of, like, wings that let you fly around the room.
Okay.
The point is to collect gold squares that this flying gold blob drops.
The thing is,
and then take the squares to another flying metal box that's got wings and is hovering around.
And all these things are flying in different directions. Yeah. You're also competing, and you can aggressively attack one another.
You can
and
hurt
it's
each
very
other.
Cute, and it's animated well. You know the Castle
Crashers,
right?
Yeah, so it looks like Alien Hominid.
Yeah, it's still really pretty, colorful, and animates beautifully.
Very smooth, and I hate it because I realized when we were going to start describing this with our voices, it's going to sound exactly like New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
Yeah, it is. Except this has style.
Damn it, it isn't!
Except this has style.
It's not a side-scroller.
Also,
it's a competitive
multiplayer. Also, there will be a challenge to this.
Yes.
Whereas New Super Mario Bros. Wii, from what I've played, was, well, if you've ever played a game in your life, you will beat this in one day. And I hate to say that, but that's not going to be the game everyone likes. You'll have to play Galaxy 2 for that.
Oh?
I'm just saying. Like, I really don't think that game's going to be interesting. I think it's going to end up being like, yep, that was a Mario game you guys crapped out.
All right. Well, we have
if
some
I'm
other
wrong,
stuff to
if
play.
If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
If he's lying, he's dying.
No.
If you're wrong, you're wrong. If I'm moving on, I'm moving on.
Oh, here we go. Time to get moving.
What else do we have here to see? I didn't go by Activision's booth, but right next to it's smaller than NCSoft's, which, if you know publishers.
Oh, that is funny.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I don't know if people realize how big Comic-Con is. Like, when Chris says he can't, he hasn't seen everything. It's because, like, big exhibit hall is literally, like, I don't know, like 8 football fields or something like that.
It's huge, and it curves, so you can't see everything. I feel like I'm in, it literally feels like I'm in Enterprise, like Next Generation, the saucer section, I feel like I can't see anything around the corner. Yes, that is a reference to that show.
That's the only one I know, because you gave me the sound effect.
I didn't.
Let's keep doing this.
So all the gaming stuff is kind of lumped together on one.
Yeah,
side
the gaming is. Gaming stuff was all.
But
on
there's
one
so many people that it's.
Yeah, the Future Booth, which has like a big Games Radar logo, mm-hmm. PTOM, OXM logo, all people who've been on the podcast.
Yeah.
Is mixed with Namco Bandai, XSEED, who's showing
Codemasters.
Codemasters, like, and the cool games there. Like they have Muramasa.
Oh yeah,
the
yeah.
Wii game, which is really fun.
The Vanillaware one.
Yeah,
yeah.
I played it a lot at E3.
That's who I'm going to go as next year.
Muramasa.
Yeah.
That's a sword, but all right.
Oh yeah, no. The character. Who the fuck the character's
girl?
Name
you're
is?
You're gonna wear a pink kimono.
Yes. Well, it doesn't matter. Brett doesn't like jokes.
There's also
not a fan.
There's
of
also
jokes.
Big-breasted fox ladies in that game. If you're
whoa,
interested.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, just like a Akira Kurosawa's dream. Jesus Christ, am I appealing to Joe McNeely alone right now in the last couple days? What the hell?
So, yeah, this sounds kind of light on information. It's because we're recording this on Thursday when Comic-Con has barely started.
Yeah,
and most of the things we're doing are Friday.
We have a Twitter account.
We have two that you should be following.
Okay, I don't have one yet.
Maybe we should, actually, I don't know. We have
yes!
There's three Twitter feeds. If you're listening to this and you want to see what we're doing at Comic-Con.
Try again.
by the way, that crumpling noise is Chris admiring his golden Captain Caveman.
Oh, I was going to Twitter it.
I should have brought one of my sound waves.
Oh, yeah, that's what you ended up saying the Hasbro line
yes,
for.
That's, yes, yeah. That's what I stated in
and I'm debating paying you $54 for it.
Because it comes with three cassettes,
it
guys.
Comes, damn it, you're right.
That Transform?
Three cassettes!
And the little birds!
Is it four? No, it's four!
It should
it's
be
four cassettes!
Rumble, Ravage, Rat Pack, and Laserbeam.
Very good.
Good God.
Oh!
And the reason why I stayed in that line for an hour and a half is because when I was a kid, my parents were like, no, you cannot have Transformers because that's a boy toy.
Oh.
And you can have a Cabbage Patch doll.
My parents did the same thing with me to Rainbow Bright. That's all I wanted was Rainbow Bright stuff.
And they wouldn't give it to you?
They got me Lurky. They got me the bad guy.
Murky
and Lurky. I'm dead serious. I liked shit that was colorful.
I was really into Care Bears stuff. As a kid, and I remember getting a lot of those.
The Transformers cool because that was colorful. Yeah. Sorry.
Twatter. If like you're listening to the podcast and you're like, wow, I sure do want to know what's going on at Comic-Con, you're not getting it from the any other 900 sources, for stupid images and dumb shit we're thinking of, there's me at Brelston. BRELSTON, and there's somebody else posting as the real Brelston, which is not me.
Wow,
but
you have an imposter.
I love that I have an imposter.
That means you've made it.
He's following no one, no one's following him, and he has one tweet, so it's kind of like, well, no one cares.
But the fact that someone made it, I think, is flattering.
If it's not Chris. There's at Brelston, and there's at Games Radar, which I'm updating that as much as I can.
I think
also,
I can do this now.
And then
there's me, and it's at Positive Space, yes. And that's one word, no zeros
yeah,
or crazy.
Positive Space, PositiveSpace.
Yeah.
So yeah, follow those for images and all kinds of shit.
Yeah, I just want people to, if you have anything you want me to take a picture of, Twitter something. If I don't know how it works exactly, and I'll try. Never mind. Never mind. I don't know how to work it.
I mean, they could... I don't know.
I can't get it on my phone anyway. I'd never be able to know.
So, that's kind of all we have for Comic-Con right now. It's huge. It's crowded as hell. It's full of people.
It's kind of
like an E3 for everybody, only the games are kind of downplayed, obviously. But, I mean, it's huge as hell.
It's literally something... I mean, if you're into pop culture at all, like, there's something for everyone here.
It's definitely the thing where you realize, wow, all the shit we thought was cool in junior high, in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, well... You know, junior high, high school.
Yes. You know who isn't here?
Who?
The captain of the fucking high school football team.
Yeah.
Nor are they mentioned once.
Yeah, like here it's like, and it's a big deal. There's television live trucks, celebrities. This thing matters so much. Mm-hmm. And it's like all the shit, like it's very easy to be a fan of dorky things right now. So if you're born in the last 10 or 15 years, imagine what it's
Geek Chic, Brett. Geek Chic.
Yeah. Oh, it's wonderful that it's cool now when I'm well out of the age of trying to pick up girls.
And rhymes.
Yeah. It's like, hi, I'm 14 and I'd like to kiss on you.
Oh, you like Lord of the Rings? Stupid.
I'd like to take your boobs for a whirl, ma'am.
It's like, well,
I'm 14.
Meanwhile, 10 years later, Return of the King will win Best Picture. So thanks,
America. The Joker would win an Oscar.
And the Joker would win an Oscar. Thanks, America, for catching on 10 years later than I needed it.
Well, if you have any requests, things you want us to see, take pictures of, talk about,
just send it to, you know, message.
Just go to the forums and put it in there. We'll try and grab what we can.
Yeah, do it on Twitter. Do it on GameTwitter.com/forums. We'll try to check that, but internet is, of course, spotty as hell.
All right. What else than you? What are you excited to see? I want to go see Mystery Science and Venture Brothers.
There's a Venture Brothers
I know that's not game-related, but shut up.
No. I'm determined to get into the Mythbusters panel this year.
Whoa, is that happening?
Yes. Yeah. It's supposedly the hardest panel to get into every year.
What about the Kevin Smith one?
Kevin Smith, they stick him in Hall H, which is the biggest hall. Yeah. Mm.
I want to see Kevin Smith, but since I've seen him before, I want to see Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
And anyone who's listening to this podcast and doesn't watch Venture Brothers, you're missing out on about 90 references a minute. So please watch Venture Brothers.
Minions!
That'd be me included, since I haven't seen it.
Oh, what? My God.
They're about to kick me out of the room.
Oh, man.
We're about to kick all of us out of the room. Because we got to go.
We'll have there'll be some kind of bonus, like Comic-Con related cast. Interviews. If I have to fucking help him do it, I will.
Stay tuned. Third segment coming up.
You feel he's a cool exec with a heart of steel.
And Iron Man, all jets ablaze. He fights and fights with the Culver Rays. A blazing armor.
Yes, Iron Man.
A blazing armor. Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold
Comic-Con from the future.
Speaking of car accidents, get betters. TSR, Suburbia Ruins.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah,
that's
one crazy. One of our forum dynamos got in a car accident.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty bent up. He's got a get well thread in the forum, sort of, but it's a picture of him in a hospital bed, and it really depresses me. Suburbia Ruins, get better. We're gonna see what we can do for you. I don't know what that means.
GamesRadar.com/forums.
There you go.
Go say hi.
You know, we can't talk that much about new releases this week, but what comes out this week, this weekend?
This Sunday, technically, is Wii Sports Resort. It says it's coming out Sunday, as Nintendo games randomly do. Mm. I was about to drop a really bad date of another game that did it, but I won't do
it. Every Nintendo game drops on Sunday.
No, they don't.
This Wii game does.
No.
Yep. Name one that didn't.
Mario Galaxy. Came out on November 12th, my birthday.
Sure. Okay, that one. But all the ones lately. Smash Brothers came out on a Sunday.
Well, all right.
You write the fucking reviews for these things and have the time.
Anyway, instead of waiting until next week to do this, when the game's already been out for 6 days, we'll do it this week. The first time you turn on a game with Wii Motion Plus, which if you bought Grand Slam Tennis or Tiger Woods, which you probably didn't,
no,
you might have already seen this, but the first time you turn it on, it has like a 3-minute demo of how to install the Wii Motion Plus device. And if you've ever traveled on a plane, an airliner, it sounds just like the dumbed down to the most basic level, to buckle your seatbelt, push the thing through the hole and lift the buckle, and then secure it to your waist, when most people would just say buckle your belt.
It sounds like it's treating it as everybody's first game.
Yeah, like there's no way you can confuse what I'm saying.
Your game comes with an accessory for the system.
Yeah. that you want to make standard. And it's this complicated. It's basically them trying to describe how to put it in the jacket and then how to put the Wii Motion Plus. But I'm guessing you have the audio.
I do. And
it's really boring.
I made a small effort to make it sound even more annoying and boring.
Connecting Wii Motion Plus. Have the Wii Motion Plus accessory and the Wii remote ready.
Just a buzzing.
Ensure that
it's
the
Joker's theme from Dark Knight.
On the lock switch. Insert the front of the Wii remote.
I love
into
that's
the
his theme.
As far as it will go.
God.
Feed the Wii remote wrist strap from the inside.
Yeah, but
of the
picture this.
Through the strap hole
picture this for 3 minutes.
Oh, God.
Oh, they're going to hear it all.
Make sure that the jacket is not folded under the corners of the Wii remote.
Yeah.
And gently pull the sensor unit up at an
angle. I love that it's escalating. That's so great.
The Wii remote is fully inside the jacket. Holding down the levers on both sides of the sensor unit.
Oh my god!
If the cord is caught, pull the strap through until it is released.
I was gonna see how long you tolerate this, but everybody's laughing.
I'm expecting her to just and then die, motherfucker!
Through the wrist strap and tighten the strap lock.
Play my little game.
If the strap lock has a lock lever, close the lever to hold the strap lock in place.
All right, all right.
I just noticed what's on the whiteboard behind Tyler.
Is that how people get internet?
It's like it's somebody on a what is it, those lifts that they put,
cherry picker
a cherry picker they put up to fix power lines and cut branches, and like there's a wire connecting to a box floating in the air, and then another wire is connected to a person on the ground.
This is how people get their media.
I seem to think that that's like supposed to be like a basketball thing because there's all this other stuff on the board about NBA and ESPN. But it really does look like that guy is like he lives in that like a cage that's suspended from the cherry picker, and like he's being let out on his leash.
It does look
right
like
now.
David Blaine just failed again.
This is what our executives are doing,
I guess.
Now, hopefully, like, we put the picture up somewhere, he won't get fired.
Yeah, but Tyler then found some audio that sounds remarkably similar to that kind of discussion from Nintendo.
Really,
the doctor will then lubricate your rectum, insert the endoscope, guiding it into your colon. You may feel some pressure or tugging, but you shouldn't feel pain. To better examine abnormal-looking tissues, your doctor may choose to take one or more biopsies.
Okay, then do the other one.
Which one's that? Oh, I got it.
Ooh, I like put a little Wii music behind it.
How to put on a condom. If you have one,
what?
Bath your foreskin before putting the condom on. Unroll the condom slightly to find which is the right one.
They're still talking about the Wii remote?
Yeah, they are.
Holding the teat of the condom between your thumb and forefinger. Continue to hold the teat of the condom as you roll the condom all the way down to the base.
The teat of the condom.
The teat of the condom.
If you pulled your foreskin back, push it forward once the condom is on.
That sounds complicated.
It does.
Fuck it, let's just do it without it. This is too much.
You may find it helpful.
You're on the pill, right?
You're on the pill? That protects from disease. The disease pill?
But this one's kind of like a condom, right?
It's a built-in condom. It's God's condom.
Especially designed for use during... All right, let's move
right.
on. What was that? What is that?
I just found that on some website. It was just some like instructional
some website?
Instructional video.
I think I didn't know how to put a condom on.
Well, when I was listening to the Wiimote thing, like the first thing that struck me was like, slide it gently into the and
the
that's
thing that
what,
looks like a condom.
And that's what came to mind, and I found that, and I edited it a little bit, and possibly added Wii music.
Legally distinct Wii music.
Yeah. Oh, I hope. We really have been ragging on Nintendo this
it's
episode.
Their,
I hope
it's because
they don't
they're the easiest target.
They are.
Yeah, and apparently if we make fun of Sony, we become instantly biased.
Yeah.
That is true. No one's defending Nintendo anymore.
No one defends Nintendo because they're so far in first place. Next time they're the underdog, like during the GameCube years, you couldn't really make fun of them too much. You'd get hounded for that shit. That's before I was even in the industry. That's just the way it was. Like people online were like, GameCube sucks. Oh, yeah, well, you suck.
Like, you're a corporate whore. You like Sony.
Oh, I'm sorry to say, it's the least selling Nintendo console. So
let me get into this real quick. Like 300 contest. It's out Tuesday, the 21st. You may have missed it
on the Blu-ray.
The complete experience on Blu-ray.
What did I miss?
We're giving away a couple copies. You know what? Of all the things they didn't send me, they didn't send me a press release. I'm not really sure, but...
That is a movie... That is one of the few movies that, like, I feel will be enhanced greatly by Blu-ray. The quality... The quality... Like, it'll just... That's a movie meant for HD viewing.
And that, you know, they shot a bunch of extra stuff. Mm. Like, isn't all that necessary, but it's nice supplemental stuff, especially if you're into the novel. But I bet you'll never guess how we're going to give this away.
Madness?
This is what's hard. What's hard. Because what I'm trying to do when I ask people to do a photo manipulation contest...
Yes.
I'm going to provide you a cropped image. Last week we had a Watchmen contest for the Watchmen DVD.
With Archie.
With Archie. And I cropped it for you so you can easily put it into a scene. King Leonidas' head screaming, I think, belongs in everything.
Yeah.
And it's all over the internet. Couldn't find one image of it. Yeah. So I had to send over to the art team King Leonidas screaming, hey, could you put white around? It just felt like a waste of fucking time.
Could you cut his head out?
Why? And I'm like, here, and I directed him to Google. And look at the internet. This King Leonidas screaming, we're going to give you an image. I want to see him, and I'm going to see a badass King Leonidas in a game screen. I don't care where, I don't care how. Make it funny. Everything the head I'm going to provide you with does is essentially funny.
Pretty much.
Already. He's screaming.
I accidentally saw Meet the Spartans on HBO.
You accidentally watched the whole thing?
Yeah, I accidentally watched the whole thing.
Accidentally the whole thing.
I accidentally the whole Meet the Spartans. And there is a scene where they do a very, very bad Vice City parody, and King Leonidas carjacks a car and dances to... Oh, shit. What's this? I'm a Barbie Girl. In the car.
Ooh, which very poignant.
That's awkward.
Yeah, that's very...
I'm saying wait till the end of the podcast.
That's a joke that matters.
That makes so much sense. And how is that a Vice City parody? So well with the character of the rest of the movie?
Because everything except for that song was Vice City-ish, the style of the car and everything. Okay. And then he like drives over and he walks like he's in a video game. You guys can't see me.
Right,
this audio.
Yeah. Chappelle only made that exact same joke in 2002. But whatever.
Yeah, I know. It was... Pretty much the worst thing I've seen in a long time.
Meet the Spartans.
Horrible. It's just...
Farce, it's movie reference. The movie.
Yeah. Farces aren't funny when your jokes are more shallow.
But they try and get those stupid parody movies out so fast, they parody trailers.
Yeah.
And not what's in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, and their jokes are more shallow than the pop culture they're making fun of.
Yeah.
Like, your joke is more shallow than Paris Hilton. Yeah.
And I don't mind a shallow joke, but I saw just clips of that movie. It was just like a reference for this. It's just a reference.
Yeah,
it's not funny. There's no spin on it.
You're just for the sake of, wow, Indiana Jones just came out and
there's
they
no
already
statement.
Got
it's
it.
It's like, oh, yeah. Britney like, Spears is here shaving her head. Why is that amusing?
Just
that's
start calling it,
did.
Hey, Remember This, Volume 7.
So anyway, there is a video game reference, and King Leonidas has already been in a video game.
That's right. PSP?
The shitty PSP 300.
Okay. Yeah. Who wants to get in the community segment? Wrap this baby up.
Me. Oh, man. I don't. I refuse.
I'm leaving. Bye.
Michael, your wire's hitting your microphone. You twirl.
I twirl.
As you spin like a dandy.
Olé.
Dandies don't say olé.
What?
More intended to be a ballerina.
Did you say
thing.
Canada?
Start a slow spin.
No, dandies.
Oh, dandies.
He's
don't
a dandy.
Say olé. Papa John's does. Or no, Taco John's. I'm getting my John's mixed
what
up.
What the hell is Taco John's?
What does it have to do with dandies?
Taco John's is a lovely franchise that's.
That
anyway.
Doesn't exist in California.
Sure doesn't.
What
all right.
I stop listening to you guys.
Let's
for
call
a
it Taco
Jesus.
John.
Chris, the moment
like
you fade out, we start talking about the next thing that comes.
Snap to in a speculation over Taco John's.
You've heard of Taco John's, right?
Never.
Oh, come on. Ernest did commercials for him.
If Ernest was in it, I'm sure we all remember.
No, Brett knows how to connect with me, Ernest. Jim Varney is
Jim
a
Varney
big
is
thing
a,
for Brett.
Well, let's
I.
find those
Jim
and put them on the next podcast.
All right.
good.
Only problem, we'll have to pick up some settled. Corpses for that. All right, anyway, question of the week last week, which was, what, 44?
Sure.
40. All right, question of the week, 44.
What was it, Brett?
It was a belch. Question 44, what was the first movie game that made you hate movie games? The first one that made you go, wow, these licensed movie game tie-ins are pieces of shit. Again, you can answer this in gamesradar.com/forums or on the gamesradar.com main site.
Or you already entered it.
Tyler, And Tyler makes... yeah, well, get into the next one, sucka. Tyler then makes an article that's on the main site that you can answer on the Games Radar site or the forums, whichever one you want to answer, although I tend to read the forum responses more likely because it's where I am. But yeah, there you go.
Well, thanks for just... you know, fucking invalidating my article.
No, the article is good because more people
I work really hard on. I spend a lot of time on that.
You spend minutes, man. No, more people do see the article than see the forum thread by far.
Right.
Like hundreds and thousands of more people. I didn't say hundreds of thousands. I said hundreds or thousands. People see that. So either place you want to answer, that's the thing. I did see, strangely enough, a couple of non-movie games came up, like Superman 64, and it's like, that's not a movie.
Yeah,
it's tied to a cartoon. Whatever. The two I think I saw the most, E.T. for 2600, of course, and Enter the Matrix.
I wonder how much of that is people who know by reputation that E.T. was bad, didn't actually play
it. Well, most of them said that with a personal anecdote.
Yeah,
I played it as
good.
A kid. I remember having it and just being
like,
hell am I supposed to do? I'm falling in holes.
Besides, yeah, all you need to do to get the experience of that is to hear the sound. Yeah,
I don't have that.
I'm really glad I was never
subjected
to that shit.
It was terrible.
I played good games.
But if you knew what you were doing, which of course nobody ever
did in 1983,
then it's just mediocre.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, this feels like someone slapped it together in a couple weekends.
The internet then was calling your friend who also had it.
Yeah, and the other, the most recent one was Enter the Matrix. A lot of people were saying
Most recent?
Well, the one that many people were like, because that was a big movie, big deal, and then the game was really pretty shitty, and I beat it.
Jesus Christ, that hovercraft level?
Oh. The driving levels at the end of the game were terrible.
You get to see out of a digital vagina? Like,
Yeah, it's one of those games where, like,
I had to play that for work.
Went through the whole thing. It's a fucking terrible game. But, things I really like is Phazon117 actually said that the first Shrek game, and he only mentioned it because it would normally be a great candidate for a Talk Radar official game, because it's just burping and farting.
Mm.
Check
farty butts.
I remember that. There's a fart button.
There's a fart button, which Michael...
yes. Exploited to great.
It's a gas button, so it does them randomly. So it's just...
Yeah, Podcast 21 has a break that is Chris's video from the farty butts. Gaming's most important farty butts. Angry Fruit Salad. Jurassic Park for 3DO, which is a game I remember seeing screenshots of in EGM as a kid and thinking, oh my god, this 3DO thing. This system is going to be so cool.
Happening.
And the game is just crap. Mechamorbo. Batman Returns for Sega Genesis, and this touches on a point that we all know now retroactively. Games weren't thought of as bad back then. They were thought of as hard.
Yeah.
True.
And it was right, because if a game was really bad, I was like, this game's too hard. I would never go, fuck this is terrible, like Mickey Mouse Capade.
Good point, M.M. I'd be like, this is challenging.
Yeah. No one back then said Mickey Mouse Capade sucks. They were just like, wow, game's too hard. I don't want to play it. Rabid Zombies, Top Gun for the NES, which I agree with because that's a game. That's the only game that my dad, walking into Walmart, was like, wow, Top Gun game, bought, and then comes home and wants me to play it. I'm like, but I don't like this game. Egregious Rambo, terrible for NES. Captain Head brought up the fact that Tomorrow Never Dies for the PlayStation 1, shitty game, and the website is still live.
Yeah, you sent that around today.
The launch website for a game that... I mean, the movie came out in 96 or 7.
Was that EA?
97, I think, was when that movie came out.
Yeah, that was old.
Dates.
I love looking at the website because they've got, like, the tagline, like, amazing graphics and all this stuff. And then you look at the screenshots and it's PS1 screenshots.
And it's also clearly a resolution that was at this cutting edge of 1998.
Yeah, that's true.
So everything's super small.
Yeah, I remember that one also because that was, like, when MGM was, like, you know, GoldenEye was mega successful just because of the Bond license, so we're going to make these games from now on. And it was so shitty.
Yeah, it's like, so basically we got one good Bond game and the rest were like, I thought Agent Under Fire was okay.
I remember my mom being legitimately upset because she loved GoldenEye.
Really?
And,
man, your mom.
I know. My mom loves Nintendo and she likes playing games on them. And I got her all of the other 007 games. And ever since GoldenEye...
Did you get her 007 Racing?
No, I didn't get her that one. But after GoldenEye, I kept getting her any shooter that involved double, and she would always be like, it's not GoldenEye.
Right.
And I'm like, you're right, Mom. You could do my job. Just come sit in my desk.
David the Bowie, Back to the Future Parts 2 and 3.
Jesus Christ.
Basically because you don't know what you're doing most of the time.
Let's collect clocks as I jump into pits where I don't know. I can't see where you're going.
Ratzor, and I have to disagree here, user Ratzor says Gremlins 2 for the NES.
Dude, that game is great.
It's a fantastic game.
Awesome music, fantastic graphics.
Yeah, there's like two things.
Four levels of solid gameplay.
Oh, it's a solid fucking game, man. Johnny Six Gun, the Super Nintendo version of Rocketeer, which I love the NES one, but for some reason, yeah, the Super Nintendo one was really bad. You're like flying in circles in a biplane. It was terrible.
But Dark Void is totally different.
Dark Void, way different.
I mean,
I played a lot of Dark Void at this point, and it's. I hope it's fun, but it's that same feeling I got playing Bionic Commando, where like I like doing this when it all works. And then the moment one of these aspects doesn't work, I get really frustrated.
It's disorienting.
Yeah. But hopefully they'll get that together, because Crimson Skies was excellent. They know what they're doing. Finally, Rodrigo Bernales. Darkman and Terminator 2 for NES. Wow. And I realized two things. One, I've never seen Darkman.
Oh, but you would love Darkman.
And then I looked it up, and I'm like, I know this movie, I just never seen it. Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
The mask at the end that he pulls over his face is Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all this cool shit. Like, I want the Castro to show
it's
that.
It's the most accurate comic movie I've ever seen, never based on a
never
comic.
Never based on a comic, yeah.
It's unbelievably
It's because
cool.
he couldn't find, they couldn't get the rights to any characters. So
you will love every second
I know. I wish the Castro would show it as a
You remember when Sam Raimi was cool?
I have it on a high-definition digitally versatile disc.
Oh, now,
wow. Mm-hmm. By the way, Sam Raimi is directing the new World of Warcraft movie. He used to be cool.
So weird. Yeah, a game that was about you and your personality is now going to star somebody and be directed by the guy
exactly.
who did The Gift.
The Gift.
Who did Spider-Man 3.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Hey, we're a bunch of elves
I thought he was
shit.
Cool
Let's
once
go prance
upon a time.
I don't know. Maybe. La-di-freaking-duh. But Rodrigo Bernales, I have to say,
I heard Luis Guzman is playing a paladin.
Sure,
the dumbest thing I've ever said.
I'm sure Bruce Campbell will stop someone from entering a cave or something. Both of those games, Darkman and T2 for NES, fucking amazing music. The Darkman music.
So you played the game and not
yeah,
the movie.
The game was bad, but the music, like, there's one of those games that I just sat there with my mind blown the whole time. Really good.
Like,
music.
My eyes just did something weird at Brett. Like,
I saw
that. What the fuck is wrong with you?
No, I'll give you the Darkman music, and just consider that it's NES music when you're listening to it. It's
Brett.
It's crazy.
Exited the womb thinking about video game music.
I did. It hit me.
And also remembering the date he was born.
Oh, man, November 12th. That's a hard one to remember.
Immediately forgetting about the vagina. Yeah. Move on before I make another bomb.
All right, question 45. 45. Now that it's Comic-Con. That was a Duran Duran reference that no one would get.
I know Duran Duran, but I don't know that reference.
45. It's from their album, Rio.
I'm gonna
Just
put
wait
my
till
hand
question
55,
and I'll get the Sammy Hagar
yeah,
reference.
Yeah, you'll get the Sammy Hagar. question 45. Because it is Comic-Con week, really wanted to do something comic book related.
Yeah.
It's the Joker, so that'll go. That counts.
Yeah, see?
So... We're all really busy. We got to fly out in the morning. So the thing we all kind of just settled on was the obvious one of what's the most disappointing superhero game that you've ever played. We were going to say, like, what's your favorite? But, I mean, that's not really that fun to discuss. So instead it's more fun to discuss which one. Like, you know the character's powers that are supposed to be in it. Or it doesn't have to be like a licensed comic book hero. It could just be a game that you know through previews or through whatever.
There's very few games that got to grab a license like that. Like, this kid... Captain America's existed for 40 years before this game came out. No, not a lot of games deal with 40-year-old license.
Yeah.
Ziz.
Yeah, actually more like 50.
50, yeah, whatever. Like, you're great with dates. I'm just saying, like, you know, if Widget sucks, then Widget's a year old and you'll forget about it tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
But the X-Men game has to live on forever being shitty.
Yeah, well, that was going to be mine. Like, the first two I remember playing that just completely kicked my fucking nuts in was the X-Men for NES, which is well-documented, awful. Mm-hmm. That game makes no sense at all. Just watch a YouTube clip of X-Men for NES. I challenge you. I dare anyone to tell me what is happening at any point in that game. It makes no sense. Dude, everyone is dying at all times.
I love that I just stuck with being Nightcrawler because he could walk through the level.
Every time I pushed A playing as Nightcrawler, I died. Because he teleports, but you don't decide where he comes out at. So if he comes out on a wall, dead. And it's just rolling dice. Maybe you...
got Wagner.
And does Wolverine heal? I don't think so. Does he have claws? No. Like, everything... terrible game. And the other one was Superman for NES.
I don't remember
the
one.
Superman sprite looks like a child wearing a cape. And then you... I don't even know if he can fly. I think he just jumped really high.
Yeah, he just jumps really high.
God!
Superman.
And there's a whole thing about how he gets his powers from the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, so it's really weird. And you can only change into Superman in a phone booth.
You spend a lot of it walking around as Clark Kent.
My second review.
Everyone wants to do.
The second review I ever wrote at GamesRadar, Eric changed the strapline on. And it always sticks in my head because it still rings true. Why is the Atari 2600 version still the best Superman game? And, yeah, it's absolutely fucking... Superman's been getting... He's got a raw deal.
Yeah.
All the way through.
I'd say the next decent one is, like...
It's always games where he's playing arcade. But
how absurdly fun...
Yeah, the arcade
fun.
Game. Like, that was just
how
a beat-em-up.
How absurdly fun could that awesome. Be right now, a next-gen Superman
two
game?
Two Supermen.
If it was done well, just flying around
as well,
Superman.
Yeah, I mean, you just have all these crazy powers. It'd be really
that
cool.
That would be so much fun. Why doesn't that exist?
And then I think the
does
next,
and it sucked.
I think as far as a more recent one, just Spider-Man 3 was a pile of
oh,
shit.
Oh, don't get into mine.
And a horrible mess. Then after Spider-Man 2 being so incredibly good.
Web of Shadows
was decent, but...
Hold on, let me get into mine.
All right, go for it.
Web of Shadows,
Yeah, it's really good.
Spider-Man on the... I joined the swim team.
Yes, you did.
To get Spider-Man on the Genesis.
Oh, no.
And it was the same thing. Like, this is not... bad, it's just challenging. And then I noticed what the earmark of all bad Spider-Man games is that they rely on a button that's focused on him shooting his web like a very slow bullet.
Yeah.
Which I've read not as much Spider-Man as you. He never really does that. He never shoots goop
right.
in the form of a bullet. And like every he bad does. Spider-Man, well, very rarely.
Maybe.
I mean, but it's usually like not at a person. It's not as a weapon.
It happens a lot.
I mean, like, to cover people, but it kind of
actually,
happens to, like,
you're totally wrong.
It happens to cover people's face. It's not a substitution for ammunition.
Again, he does.
He does what?
It's hardened. It's different webbing. It'll come out.
I don't remember that happening.
I know. I don't want to just sit here and contradict.
It becomes, like, complete... Well, whatever. It's
dried and crusted over.
It's nowhere near as... They're nowhere near as reliant on
that... He scrapes it off the front of his pants.
...aspect
yeah,
of
yeah,
Spider-Man
yeah.
in the comics as they are in every game. And when that becomes the focus... The fucking Genesis Spider-Man took place in a tunnel. Oh, he can cling to the roof.
Yeah.
Woo! In a warehouse? Oh, goodness.
In a warehouse. And the woods for one level and... You fight the Sandman, and guess what? A sandbox.
And
that's apparently the only place he can exist.
The Iron Man game, as of recent, and it just because that Captain America and the Avengers game, like, always Iron Man.
Yeah,
always Iron Man.
And Marvel Ultimate Alliance, I had to play as Iron Man the whole time. I'm a big Iron Man fan.
Me too. I'm a big Iron Man fan. He always seemed like he had the best of everything. He gets to be human, but he gets to fly, and he gets to shoot things.
He gets to have an alcohol problem.
Super strength. Oh, alcohol.
Oh,
I'd say Catwoman, but that disappointment implies some sort of expectation.
Oh, that was pretty
You've
awful.
Been in the business.
That was one of That's the worst true. Games I've ever played.
That was just fucking horrible. It was just the beating up guys, but they're not really beat up until you throw them in a dumpster, and if you beat them up enough, they'll just toss themselves
toss
into
themselves
the dumpster.
What?
Yeah, imagine a game where you progress. This is Catwoman for, like, Xbox, PS2, based on the movie Catwoman with Halle Berry. And, like, to...
What's
the
date?
To move through, I don't know, to move through different rooms, you have to actually knock thugs into dumpsters. And there's dumpsters everywhere. And you have to hit enough in them so that the lid closes. And then you move on to the next area, where you do some shitty Prince of Persia platforming, and then knock more guys in the dumpsters. Not that Selina Kyle even has any powers. And she's also not Selina Kyle, which is even more funny. So
all
it's...
I gotta say is that game sounds like Hell Here.
What?
It's a very dumb Batman Returns reference.
Hell Here?
Look, I'm gonna leave it up to one person in the forums. To get my Batman Returns reference.
I've seen it like 17 times, and I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway. Tyler?
That's hard. I
knew you wouldn't have one.
I I don't have one.
Because you basically
one.
Said you didn't do it earlier. And Tyler doesn't play a lot of bad games.
I don't.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't.
Never had a childhood, apparently.
Yeah, I never had a childhood. No,
oh,
I
he's
played...
always had the internet. He's younger.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Younger by a few years. Oh, dear.
You're like five.
Okay.
That's a lot.
I didn't play any... I never really was into superheroes or comic books when I was a kid, so...
Bag.
Yeah. You know what? Actually, I was going to say, what's really sad is you joined the swim team to get that game.
Like, I put on Speedos. You should have seen my
okay,
name.
Yeah, yeah, that... Ha, ha, ha. I joined the swim team of my own free will. I got ribbons for joining the swim team.
Wow, nice. Fancy.
So had
I wore a Speedo.
How did all those butterfly strokes do you now that we're sitting in the same seat?
I was really good. I was good at the backstroke.
And one of you guys has Spider-Man memories. One of you doesn't.
That's right. Fuck me. I played Lemmings.
Yeah,
Lemmings was good.
Why
did
I play Lemmings?
A mouthful of chlorinated urine.
You know, if I had been playing something else other than Lemmings, I would have had an answer. But I was playing
Lemmings.
What's the
much.
Worst game you play with a guy in a mask?
With a guy in a mask?
Just say the Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger,
there
probably.
There you go. That game was terrible.
There
guys.
Wasn't
an oh, NES boy. That was bad. I didn't have an NES. My parents wouldn't buy me one.
All right.
I tried to play Defenders of Dinatron City.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
You know how bad I wanted to love that game?
Yeah, it was... I tried playing it on an emulator, and it was just like, dude. I don't understand what's going on. Yeah,
well,
the game makes no
I
sense.
I tend to come under... I tend to reach that conclusion with every LucasArts game I fire up nowadays. But I don't know. We'll see. They have a Comic-Con announcement. Wait for it, everybody.
Or maybe you heard it earlier.
Let's get... What did I say? No? No.
I said wait for it, but the middle segment is...
Oh, Elston. King of chronology.
King of knowing what we're doing.
Yeah.
King of fighters. And when things happen to people.
Fine.
I'm glad I'm living more of your life than you are.
Me too.
I'm seriously about to make someone else do this next week.
But it's just got so much easier.
Shut up. Go. We're leaving Nintendo Band of the USA article, Comic-Con stuff. Look for it. Eat balls? Who else got something?
Look for a possible bonus Comic-Con cast.
Mm.
I don't know who we're recording this before we're actually in Comic-Con, so I don't know who we had in the second break, but if we missed anybody, we're talking to more people there, so we'll probably have more.
I know what we got.
From Comic-Con.
What, let's say tease... Have something maybe H? Starts with an H?
Starts with an H.
It might end with an A-Lo.
Might end with an A-Lo and might rhyme with reach. I don't understand.
Shit, I was going to be way vague about it. But
and we're also probably talking Left 4 Dead 2 in there, but by now you either do or do not know that. I'm doing actually next this Monday's Top 7, so we'll talk about that next week.
One word hint.
Still.
Jesus. How about the?
F. Or fail. No. The word is like still.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Okay.
When you see the top seven, you'll be like, ah.
A week from this Friday, when you're hearing this, I will have an article that has to do with cheats somehow.
Oh, and it's so interesting.
It will be interesting.
It is. Also, I do want to tease that if you haven't already seen on the main site or via our many Twitters, again, I'm Relston on Twitter, you're...
TJC Wild, WILDE.
Yes.
There's an E.
There's an E, and then at Games Radar is also on Twitter. We're having a 24-hour play day on August 14th.
Oh, yeah.
5 p.m. August 14th to 5 p.m. Saturday, August 15th. We're going to be in the fucking office playing games 24 hours. We don't know the logistics.
We're
going to
be ragged.
Oh, man. We don't know the logistics of this yet. Like, what games for how long, what hours, how many people are actually playing. We got to figure all that out.
I just think it's doubtful you'll play with all of us. You'll probably play with one of us on whatever platform you want,
on
the game you want.
Honestly, if you stick with us for most of the 24 hours, odds are you'll see us a lot.
Yeah, we did this once for the Halo 3 beta.
I forgot. I put that on the Talk Radar 61 page. There is a link to that.
Yeah. So... Start mentally preparing. That should be before anybody goes back to school. So if you're in school, that should be like the weekend before it starts back up.
Yes, and TSR, heal by then.
Heal. I cast heal upon you.
I'm working on the Citizen Kane's the video games, which should have been up for a day by the time you hear this. And but as of this recording, I'm like one third of the way through with it, and it's now
8:30 p.m. and it's due tomorrow morning
at 8 a.m.
So I'm gonna have a. It's just this fucking article's been like an amoeba. It's just it just keeps growing out of control. Like every time I think I've got a handle on it, someone says, "Oh, how about this game?" Like, ah, you're right. Fuck you.
Stop writing asexual articles.
No. If I write sexual articles, then that's creepy.
I've written
but
a lot
what,
of them.
What Orlando told me so.
But just so you have a chance here, can you fully explain the idea of the article so that maybe preempt some confusion?
I want to make it clear that this is not like a list of the greatest games necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to put together a list of the best games. You know, it's really popular to argue about that games haven't had their Citizen Kane yet, especially that it's part of the games as art debate, and it's a little bit tiresome. Because I think a lot of the people who are arguing that maybe don't quite have a handle on why Citizen Kane is important.
And how long it took to get to Citizen Kane.
Yeah, and that it's also not a... when they say Citizen Kane, that's really code for, we want like a huge masterpiece that will move the mainstream mm-hmm. and finally convince everyone that games are a legitimate art form. And so, you know, whether or not that's feasible is one thing, but it's like, well, if you look at Citizen Kane, it's important because, you know, it brought together all these disparate filmmaking techniques, it pioneered a few of its own, and it was just kind of broke new ground in storytelling and, you know, the way that a film could tell a story, mm-hmm. and it pushed the medium forward. Mm-hmm. And so these are game, and you know, if that's the criteria for Citizen Kane, then you could apply that to a whole bunch of games that have been, you know, these watershed landmarks that you can divide the game industry, like, you know, for instance, Super Mario Brothers. So there's the game industry before Super Mario Brothers mm-hmm. and the game industry afterward, and it's very different.
There are things that refine the medium.
Mm-hmm. There's Super Mario Brothers, and then like
completely changed it.
Like 20 years of games aping Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
2D side-scrolling game with a guy jumping on shit.
Mm-hmm.
Should be cool. How many you got right now? So.
25.
Jesus.
I'm trying to keep it at that.
But since you're the film nerd, how long did it take before, like, movies are a popular thing to do?
1970s, Citizen Kane was called by some societies the greatest film of all time. Before that, it was an art film. Very few people had seen it. Maybe in small communities it would be regarded as a great film. Now we know it is the greatest film of all time.
Right. So, like, it was not popular
at
all.
It was a bomb. Orson Welles had trouble finding work again after Citizen Kane. It came 30 years into the medium, which we're just approaching now.
Yeah.
So, that's why Michael wrote the articles, because someone said, games haven't had their Citizen Kane. Well, fuck you. Games don't need their Citizen Kane.
All kinds of people
right
have said that.
Yeah. And it was something recently. You're like, it just got to you.
Well,
like,
it was something David Jaffe wrote. It kind of mm-hmm. made me go, huh? Because yeah, he was just. I was looking at his Twitter feed, and he said that. Oh yeah, you know, all these people who are talking about how the games don't have a Citizen Kane. I don't think they knew what made Citizen Kane
yes.
important.
It's very easy to look and see what made Citizen Kane important 50 mm-hmm. years after it's been studied and thrown.
Yeah,
into
exactly. Mm-hmm.
So it that's why Michael's like, I need help on this. I'm like, oh my god, I don't know where to start. Yeah. It's a tough one to tackle. Can't wait to see
it. It's probably horrible. You probably shouldn't read it.
Read it. It'll
you
make you
should.
A better person.
I read everything Michael writes.
You can tell me about all the games I forgot to include.
Yeah.
you can write first if you're the first.
Uh-huh.
The 200th person who comments on Michael Ropara's Citizens Game game article, I will give 2 Blu-rays.
Ooh.
I'll give you a copy of the
You're
new Street Fighter movie
are.
As well.
I will not say what they are.
I'll give you a demo disc of Deca Sports
okay,
2.
Okay,
so
2 unknown Blu-rays, a demo disc of Deca Sports, and a copy of Street Fighter to the 200th commenter on Michael's article.
Yes.
Do it.
Speaking of Street Fighter, Blanca,
do
take
it.
Us out.
Say hello to Ambassador Blanca.